Well, I was going to tell the kids that I'm messing up the order of the sermon today because I want to teach you all something about prayer, but it needs to be at the end. So, but you can help me out here as we get started. I want to talk about the things that we don't do. Not things we should do and don't, but things we don't do for good reasons. Things that we don't do because they keep us safe, they keep us healthy. Rules that start with don't, but really are for the good, for the positive. Any thoughts on that? Any ideas? Like, don't stick your finger in the light socket or the outlet. Or what?
Or tweezers.
Tweezers.
I did that as a kid.
Okay. Lesson learned. Any other don'ts?
Don't drink and drive.
Don't eat raw meat, typically. Sometimes fish is okay, but... Yeah.
Don't go up to stray dogs.
Don't go up to stray... Yeah, don't go up to...
stray people.
Don't murder.
Don't get in the car.
Don't get in the... What was that?
Don't forget to lock your door.
Don't forget to lock your door. Yeah. We have some good don'ts in our life. Don't steal, you know. Don't be mean. We've been making our way through the Sermon on the Mount, and we started to hear some don'ts from Jesus last week.
Don't be murder.
He said, don't do your good deeds in front of people so that they can praise you. He said, don't call attention to it when you give money. Don't brag about it. He said, God really prefers the things you do in quiet. And then he says, don't pray out there on the street corner where people can hear you so that you can be heard. And right after this, he continues in verse 7, we're in chapter 6, and you can follow along. Although I think, yeah, can you go? Oh, good, we backed up to verse 5. This is perfect. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues, where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, God.
Now, I was reading from the New Living Translation. You'll find variations of this in different translations. You'll find an even shorter, kind of more condensed version of this prayer in Luke. It's essentially the same point for point. So Jesus might have said the prayer with slightly different words. You know, Jesus hadn't had this memorized since he was a child. He was making it up. Just a thought. And his disciples probably said it maybe slightly different words. And decades later when they wrote it down, there's some variation between Matthew and Luke. Now, you might have noticed that the end was missing. Or as someone at Bible said, I like ours better. To our ears, it doesn't sound finished. because we're so used to the ending. Now, the earliest texts don't have that ending. Later ones did. And there was something called the Didache. It was like a worship manual. So it's a separate document, but it has all of these instructions on how to worship, things to do. And that ending that we know, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the force," that is in that. And that was written around 70 to 100 CE. So it's been part of our church tradition pretty much since the beginning, even if it's not actually in the earliest texts. So now, interestingly, in the Didache, it did say to say that prayer 3 times a day. So, you know, some traditions we keep and some we haven't. But I want to focus a bit today on the don'ts of prayer according to Jesus. So we know, don't stand on the street corner, pray so everyone can hear you. I don't think he's writing to this crowd. I don't think that's any of our problem. But you know, sometimes we see other people do it and we think, should I be like more out there with my faith and words and prayers? No. Okay, good. Then he says, don't babble. So don't verbally go on and on. If you go to scriptureforall.org, and I put that in your program so you can take it home, it's a website that has the Greek interlinear text and the Hebrew interlinear text. So it will show you the Greek and the translations, and then over in the margin it gives you kind of a version that's more readable because it's put in the word order that we're used to. Anyway, the literal translation of the Greek is, don't use useless repetitions. I don't know about you, but I've been in prayer groups before where every other sentence or every half a sentence had to include God, dear God, Lord Jesus, or something, as if they had to keep getting God's attention. I don't know if God has attention deficit or what, and we have to keep calling your name to make her pay attention. But I imagined, like, what would that be like if someone talked to me like that? Like, let's pretend last night at the game night, someone said, "Oh, Tara, I know you're preaching tomorrow, Tara, and you need to work on that sermon, Pastor, but I'm glad you came to play games tonight, Pastor Tara." I don't think I would feel more connected to you. That's just weird. Jesus suggests we ought to talk to God like we would talk to our father, assuming we have a positive father role model, or someone who that we can be real with. We no longer ask our own dads. Well, okay, I'm speaking for myself. I never ask my dad when I'm looking for him, "Where art thou?" We say, "Where are you?" So suddenly when we're in church and we go to the Lord's Prayer, all of us step back to the 1500s and use Shakespearean English. And I have to wonder if using thy and art is helpful for us to feel close to God. Jesus says, use language that brings you closer. Instead of saying God, use Father. And Jesus talking about these people who repeat their words, thinking that just by saying it over and over, we'll get God to answer their prayer, says, God already knows what you need before you ask. Well, what are we even doing? Why are we even in prayer? We don't have to bring God's attention to the issues. We're not the, you know, people shouting out the headlines to God. We don't have to arm twist God into working for goodness. God can't do otherwise. So, like, why are we even bothering with this? I have a friend that I call every single day, if at all possible, even if they're out of the country, if we can manage. And that started the first day of COVID shutdown. Remember that? It was almost exactly 5 years ago, like this week, maybe even today.
It was on the 17th.
It was on the 17th. Yeah. So we decided for our sanity to do a daily check-in, a daily call. 5, 10 minutes, whatever. Longer if we had time or needed it. To keep ourselves grounded and to stay connected. Thinking, of course, like we all did, that the shutdown would be over in 2 weeks max, right? We all know how that played out. So it actually just started with weekdays, work days, essentially. And then sometimes we'd get a weekend call in. And it felt like such a treat, which was so strange. You'd think that talking to somebody 5 days a week would be enough. And then it was delightful when we got to make a connection on a Sunday or a Saturday. And so pretty soon it evolved to every day of the week. And as COVID went on, this tradition was built. We kept doing it until by the time the end of the shutdown came, we didn't even have a conversation as to whether we were going to continue calling each other. It was just a given. It's just what we did. Now, I can tell you the calls were not really about telling news. None of us were doing anything, right? Wasn't much news. They weren't about asking for help. They weren't about confessing our failings. It was just about connection. Sometimes they included laughter. Sometimes they included complaints. Sometimes we talked about what was blooming, and sometimes we talked about what was happening in politics. Whether the content was significant or not, the conversation always increased our relationship. It increased connection. So within a year's time, a day felt like it was missing something without that. A day doesn't feel complete without that. Even if it's a 1 minute check-in between appointments, it's just lacking. So to me, that has been the best real-life example of what prayer can be like. It's for building connection with God. It's talking to God about anything, whether you think of God as your mom or your dad or a best friend, whoever you're able to connect with. It doesn't have to be wordy. It doesn't have to be lengthy, but the consistency, that daily check-in, is transformative. Now, to help us avoid from being overly wordy or thinking too much about what we are going to say to God, Jesus says, say this. Here's a good starting point. Now, many people learn it by rote. And sometimes when we learn something by rote, that means we can just say it and we don't think about it. On the other hand, knowing it by rote means when you find yourself in a situation when words fail you, you have a prayer to say. So, I know you probably have this prayer memorized, but I want to teach you some hand gestures to go with it. Because sometimes praying with our body helps. Sometimes it helps us remember the prayer. Sometimes it just helps us express our prayer. And so I'm going to put a hand gesture to each little piece. And for right now, I'm just going to go with the words that are in our text this morning. But the first thing we do in any prayer is to name God. and to recognize God as the most important being, the creator of all. And we do that by saying God is holy, or hallowed, for our Shakespearean friends. Hallowed be thy name, we say. But in this text, we can raise our hands, and if you want to raise your hands and practice with me, do. Raise your hands up and say, Father in heaven, your name is holy. And in the next phrase, we get political. I don't know if you knew that. We acknowledge that God is the ruler above all other rulers. And we're asking for God's kingdom to come. So we can lower our hands as if to show God's kingdom come. Or in this text, may your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we ask for provisions, just enough for the day or tomorrow, depending on what your translation says. And we can lift up our hands like we're receiving. Give us this day the food we need. Now, Jesus made a big deal after teaching this prayer that if we don't forgive, we won't be forgiven. Or the First Nations translation uses the word release. That if we fail to release others from the wrongdoings they've done to us, it keeps the Creator from releasing us from our wrongdoings. I liked that translation. Saying sorry and forgiving others is really hard work. We always need the Spirit's help. So we'll move our hands into what I would call is our current traditional prayer posture and bow our heads in humility, saying, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And then the final line that Jesus teaches is about moving forward along God's path. Avoiding the temptations to instead do what's easy or comfortable. So it's almost like we're opening the door to go down the path Jesus has shown us. And we say, don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Now, if you want to make it feel complete, a wrap up by like the end we normally do, we can think back to the beginning and praise God, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So in just a couple of minutes after our pastoral and congregational prayers, we're going to say our local traditional version of the Lord's Prayer. By the way, you can find three versions of the Lord's Prayer in our hymnals in the back if you're interested in ecumenical version or other versions. So today I'll invite you to pray with me if you want with the gestures. And today I'll also invite you at that time to stand up if you want to try. Because standing was a common posture for prayer in Jesus' time. Standing, looking up. That was a common prayer posture. Now, if you're feeling super adventurous, seeing lots of people out there. Oh yeah, tell me more. I invite you to try using language from your own century rather than Shakespeare's and call God you or your. And I would guess some won't like that. Maybe you don't even want to try it. But we don't like things the first time we try them usually. I would challenge you to try to use you and your for when you talk to God. I don't know, until Advent. And just see if it changes your feeling of connection to God over time. We all resist change, but often we get transformed, and that is such a small word change, but for me, it made a huge difference instead of feeling like God is way out there, but God is here, someone I can talk to. You might be amazed by what that tone shift can do in your daily prayer life. But we're Methodists. You get to choose the method you like, and that works for you. But it's also good to consider giving something a good, earnest try before saying, nah, I don't like that. So we're going to try just to play around with this Lord's Prayer a little bit.